The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa. In the headlines, NDPC to launch 40-year national development plan today. Government calls on doctors to resume work immediately, describing withdrawal of services as illegal. Government and Hospital Pharmacists Association declares nationwide strike. Auditors charged to exhibit integrity to erase corrupt perception of them. And Pakistan executes man convicted of murdering child despite appeals by human rights groups. And news in detail. The National Development Planning Commission, NDPC, will today launch the process to prepare a 40-year development plan at the Accra International Conference Center. The plan will bind governments to a vision lasting till the country attains 100 years as an independent nation. The move, described by the NDPC as ambitious, will see deep and broad consultations for at least a year. This is not the first time the NDPC has embarked on a national exercise to draw a blueprint for national development. But the Director General of NDPC, Dr. Nimoy Thompson, says unlike previous development plans since the late 60s, the new plan will be binding on all governments. He said it is fashioned like the MDGs, which give flexibility to governments to commit to the unchangeable vision using their own strategies. Already, former Presidents Kufuor and Rawlings have interacted with the NDPC to create awareness and whip up support for the process. They also met the Speaker of Parliament, the Chief Justice, parliamentary leadership, and leaders of the various political parties. The government has described the ongoing strike by doctors as illegal and called on them to resume work immediately. A statement signed by the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, restated government's commitment in creating a conducive working environment for all public sector workers. In this regard, government has been in discussion with the DMA on conditions of service for medical officers. Government is of the view that while these processes are ongoing, it is unfair and against the rules of labor practice for the DMA to stop outpatient services. The statement said it is important for government to conduct a financial analysis of the impact of any such conditions of service on its expenditure in order not to adversely affect the annual budget approved by Parliament. The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Health, Joseph Ilechere, has asked the DMA and government to return to the negotiating table. He said innocent citizens should not suffer because of the inaction of stakeholders. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Chire, who is also a former Minister of Health, expressed concern about government's direct involvement in resolving the issue. He said the Labour Commission is mandated by law to resolve such issues. He spoke to Barbara Yakubu.
This is not unexpected. Everybody has given some warning. And so we of the committee think that it's unfortunate that these developments are occurring. We also think that having made their case that the doctors since November last year, the pharmacists go back about 4 years, and they're mentioning that the last time also a year ago, I hear the mental health nurses are also on a sit down side. It creates a situation of crisis for us. But what I would say is, as health professionals, they know better than we all do that you do not punish the innocent patient because of some other person's or delay in taking action. First of all, we would like to invite everybody to let us reduce the tension. Let's follow lay down procedures, no matter how hard it is, because if lives are lost, it will be difficult to bring the lives back. But if they have waited for 1 year, and sometimes more than a year, they are not seeing it. They have told Ghanaians, and Ghanaians will follow. The government of Ghana also has an obligation to speed up all the things that these people want to do. They may be asking for many things, but government, as a custodian of all our resources, will have to be reasonable in determining what can be given. But the unfortunate situation is the fact that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is the organization that should have been determining all this. So when you bring in central government, and you are talking about chief of staff writing to Ministry of Finance and all that, it complicates the matter, because the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is the one institution that should be doing all this for everybody. People are opting out and want to be dealt with on individual basis. This is a sad situation. consulting with the Ministry of Health, and we'll see next time how we can call people to have the discussion. Unfortunately for us also, it's because Parliament went on recess. So reconvening the committee will take some time. But we think it is urgent enough for us to do so.
So how do you resolve it immediately?
The matter cannot be resolved immediately. Those stakeholders, those who are asking for better service conditions, the ones who are to take action, they've delayed for so long. So there's no way the committee can suddenly bring solutions. We want to have everybody talking together. And the conditions allow people to still access health services. But we cannot in any way direct what should be done by any one of them. We will be feeding them.
Chairman of Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Joseph Yilechere. The Kolebu Teaching Hospital has denied media reports of 3 deaths over the weekend following the strike by doctors. Initial checks by the hospital revealed that there has been no such incident. The public relations officer of the hospital, Mustafa Salifu, told Radio Ghana they are investigating the speculations being carried by the media. The Government Hospital and Pharmacists Association, GOSPA, has declared a nationwide strike. The decision follows a meeting with the General Council of GOSPA yesterday. Pharmacists for now have withdrawn all OPD as well as weekend and night services till Monday, the 10th of this month. If no action is taken by government, emergency and night services will also be withdrawn. Vice Chairman of GOSPA, Ajimai Bedu, said the decision to go on strike is due to delay in resolving their grievances for more than 4 years. He said the association will not rescind its decision until its grievances are resolved.
Since August 2014, the Chief of Staff, acting upon a government white paper, directed the Ministry of Finance to implement a roadmap which was put together by a cabinet subcommittee. Exactly almost a year, nothing has been done by the Ministry of Finance. And the issues of GOSPA has been in the media back and forth. We go on strike, we come back, they sweet talk us, then we come back. So the Chief of Staff, in the presence of the Minister of Health, the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, the CEO of Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, and the presidential staffer, Mr. Ejeni Mbuati, met leadership of GOSPA last week, Thursday. The meeting we held with them was inconclusive. And subsequent to that, GOSPA leaders decided that we needed to call the General Assembly of GOSPA members to discuss with them our meeting with the Chief of Staff and the government representatives. And at the meeting we held today at Kolebu, members resolved that they cannot even wait for the 1 week government is demanding that they want to have a second look at our issues, because the Chief of Staff, who is demanding another week, his same office issued a directive to the Minister of Finance, which will have seen to the closure of the issues bordering GOSPA. So the members are saying that we can no longer trust them, and for that matter, we cannot even wait till the end of the week they are demanding, which is on the 6th of August. So subsequent to that, we have resolved that we are withdrawing all OPD services, night and weekend duties, effective today till the 10th. And if the Thursday they demanded, we don't hear anything from them, then we will scale it up from the 11th to include the withdrawal of services to emergency patients, inpatients, and all the programs like HIV, TB, and the rest.
This I would describe as a surprise strike, because the doctors at least forewarned us. Don't you think it's going to cripple the health sector? Because doctors at the moment are on strike.
Just on the 22nd of July this year, we issued a press statement in lieu of an intended strike action. The next day, we were called the National Labour Commission and subsequently by the Chief of Staff. So it's not a matter of a surprise, because we, over the time, have indicated that our issues are not resolved by the way of the full execution of the directive of the Chief of Staff to the Minister of Finance, that they should implement the roadmap which will see to the early closure of all the issues bordering public sector pharmacies. We intended to go on strike, but now we were called by the Chief of Staff. We thought that something positive would have come out of the 2 days meeting we held the Chief of Staff at the last 5 hours. But nothing concrete came out, and we reverted to our membership. And our members are saying that even the 1 week the Chief of Staff and the government representative are demanding, they are not in favor of it, and that they can no longer wait. We are striking from today.
Vice Chairman of GOSPA, Ajimai Bedu. The General Secretary of the NPP, Kwabena Jepong, has dismissed claims that he rushed the party's parliamentary primaries in the Klote Kwale constituency. Mr. Jepong insisted that the decision to hold the elections on Sunday was backed by the regional and constituency executives of the party. He said he had meetings with the acting Greater Accra Regional Chairman and the constituency chairpersons, who all agreed on Sunday for the elections. Mr. Jepong further explained his stance on the matter to Agatha Samwa on Behind the News.
the National Executive and the National Council decided on June 13 as the date for the parliamentary primary, and they authorized the General Secretary to vary the date as and when it was thought appropriate. Our main aim was to have the primaries all at the same time. And in fact, on the 13th of June, we had 247 constituents undergoing primaries very peacefully and very successfully. Of course, the remaining 28 or so, which had issues including legal suits in court, others had residual matters arising out of the vetting process, and those had to be sorted out. And we projected 2 weeks later for the second date allocated for the holding of the primary. 8 more constituencies were able to hold their primaries on the 27th of June, leaving only those with very long-standing legal cases or those that were had cases pending before the National Appeals Committee. The Appeals Committee worked round the clock. It was not easy. And they were able to produce a report, which allowed us to set July 25th, which is more than 6 weeks later than the original date of June 13th, as the date for these elections. It was just on the 24th of July, a day before the election was going to be held, that we got a court bailiff delivering to us a notice of an injunction hearing the following week. Of course, there was no injunction at the time. And out of courtesy and respect for the legal process, we decided to hold on to those elections in those constituencies, pending the determination by the court. And so the following Thursday, the court determined the cases, threw out the injunction applications, and gave the party the go-ahead to have the election. Normally, we talk to the regional chairman and then the constituency elections committee, and then we fix a date. The constituency had been very clear in their minds that they didn't want the case to drag on for too much, and they wanted the election taken care of as soon as practicable. In fact, they were pushing for Saturday. And I said we should give ourselves another 24 hours.
So you communicated to the contestants and delegates all the time to enable them to prepare?
Very, very clearly. We all have followed the issues from the June 13th up to today. So none of them can create the impression that this was a surprise to them.
But if they knew about it, why would they then complain and wanted further postponement?
Perhaps they may be the best people to answer these questions.
We also heard in Kolikoti, the delegates met with the regional executives and decided to hold the election the following week, but you shut it down.
I don't think that can be correct, because I had a meeting in my office with the acting regional chairman and the constituency executives from the Kolikoti constituency. I had discussions with the Okaikwe, who were eager to go even on Saturday. It was my advice to them that Saturday we should give them another 24 hours.
General Secretary of the NPP, Kwabena Ejiofor. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. NDPC to launch 40-year national development plan today. Government calls on doctors to resume work immediately, describing withdrawal of services as illegal. Government and Hospital Pharmacists Association declares nationwide strike. Auditors charged to exhibit integrity to erase corrupt perception of them. And Pakistan executes man convicted of murdering child despite appeals by human rights groups. Do stay tuned. Welcome back. Auditors have been reminded to exhibit integrity and honesty, which are the hallmark of the profession. This will not only wipe the corrupt perception about the profession, but will also bridge the gap between management and auditors, which usually mar the output of professionalism in the public sector. At a workshop in Accra for 30 internal auditors in public institutions, a managing consultant, Frederick Poco Akins, said the rate at which managers constantly disagree with the decisions and responsibilities of auditors, especially in the public sector, is alarming. He said until clearer standards are set between who manages and audits the institution's funds, the output of auditors will not be effective. Radna Pahar reports.
Ghana's Public Accounts Committee's report on the ministries and MMDAs has more often than not revealed loopholes in the management of the public pays. While some auditors either are not up to date with their reports, others simply don't exhibit professionalism in the manner with which they file their returns. These and many other challenges influence Autumn Training and Consulting, an audit firm to bring 30 internal auditors from some ministries and state institutions to learn ways on how to effectively execute their mandate as auditors. Frederick Poku Akins is the managing consultant of Altum Training and Consulting.
From time immemorial, auditors have been tagged with some derogatory names because people have a very warped understanding of what auditors are supposed to do. So they see them as people who are kind of finding fault and people who are only pointing fingers at what is wrong. They never get satisfied with what management does. That doesn't help because it doesn't make you get the cooperation from management because they see you only as an accuser. Sometimes they even call you prophet of doom because you only go and say that things which are wrong. It's making internal auditors also, in a way, take a certain stand. It's like a warfare between management and then auditors. In discussion rooms, it becomes quite heated because auditors think that management, they want to prove to them that what they are saying is not right, and the auditor too feels that he has to make sure that management accepts what they are saying. You know, so that type of relationship building is not there, the cooperation is not there, so that we can get to the foundation of getting it right.
Mr. Poku Akins said if internal auditors conform with the ethics of the audit profession, corruption will be on the decline and public confidence will gradually regain.
Iradna Paha reporting. The Controller and Accountant General's Department says it will no longer print pay slips following the introduction of the Electronic Salary Payment Voucher, ESPV, system. The system introduced to replace government pay vouchers and eliminate challenges associated with them will take off this month. The Western Regional Salaries Officer of the Controller and Accountant General's Department, Vincent Addo, made this known at a two-day ESPV workshop for public sector workers at Hafasini. It was organized by the Controller and Accountant General's Department in collaboration with the Jomoro District Assembly. Mr. Andrew said the new system is fast, cost-saving, eliminates ghost names, and corrects anomalies, if any, before salaries are paid. He said heads of departments and heads of management units who fail to validate their payment vouchers within 48 hours on notification in a particular month would let their staff lose their salaries for the month. According to Mr. Addo, 6 out of the 10 regions, namely Ashanti, Greater Accra, Bunahafu, Upper East, Upper West, and Northern, have already been covered in the exercise and hopes the remaining 4 would be covered early next month. He appeals to the heads not to use the system to penalize their subordinates for any reason. Speaking on behalf of the Western Regional Minister, Paul Evans Edu, the Acting District Chief Executive, said the previous pay system was time-wasting. He said the ESPV system, certificate, and vouchers would be online. He said ICT is now the order of the day, hence government distributing laptops to basic schools and tertiary institutions. The Ghana Revenue Authority has inaugurated the 40-member Special Revenue Task Force to mobilize revenue from defaulting taxpayers and also bring in taxpayers outside the tax net. The task force will, among other things, ensure tax compliance. Speaking at the launch, the Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, George Blankson, said the move forms part of efforts to optimize revenue mobilization. He said the task force is aimed at getting recalcitrant taxpayers to comply with their tax laws. Mercy Darkon has more.
The task force is part of the Ghana Revenue Authority's strategy to generate more revenue for national development. The Commissioner General George Blankson said the task force has become necessary as some taxpayers have defaulted in filing their returns. He added that the task force will complement activities of the Compliance Enforcement and Debt Management Unit of the authority who have been embarking on a distress action to enforce compliance.
It's been part of our strategy. Whenever you find that any area of any of the 4 areas identified, we see a need to show up effort in that area. We set up a task force to, as it were, to boost efforts and performance, after which we go back relying solely on the units that are tasked to carry out that particular task. The more important part of their work is the impact that they make on compliance, so that when they get out there and recover revenue from taxpayer A, taxpayers B, C, and D know what has happened to taxpayer A. Not only has the revenue been retrieved, but taxpayer A has been made to pay penalties and interest. Then B, C, and D will pay, even before the taxpayer gets to them.
Mr. Blankson also outlined the possible sanctions for defaulters. He called on the public to honor their tax obligations to avoid being penalized.
Mercy Darkon reporting. A network to spearhead the agenda of effective dissemination of improved quality technologies in agriculture has been launched in Accra. The Ghana Forum for Agricultural Advisory Support and Services exists to provide farmers with a host of new subject areas that will increase productivity whilst making efficient use of the resources available. Speaking at the launch, the interim chairman of the forum, Seth Ashama, noted that it is a way of stepping up efforts in the agricultural sector to ensure food security. Cynthia Boateng has more.
Agriculture is undergoing rapid changes as a result of policies, urbanization, population growth, and the opening up of local, regional, and international markets. Due to this, farmers who do not equip themselves with current information are unable to produce on maximum capacity. Managing post-harvest losses is also a challenge. These affect the availability of food in the country and also lead to poverty. This implies that farmers need to be more responsive to the changes and the challenges. In line with the African Heads of State Declaration in 2003 in Maputo, countries under the continental body, the African Forum for Agricultural Advisory Services are to form country forum to identify, document, and share key lessons in agricultural extension advisory services. Ghana has established its country forum for agricultural advisory support and services. The interim chairman explained that the network is coordinated and it will help ensure food security. With the insertion of GAFAs, farmers, especially those in the rural areas, will have access to agricultural extension advice on issues such as farm business management, product quality, climate change, among others. The Directorate of Agricultural Extension Services of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture is the host institution for the GAFAs network.
Cynthia Boateng saw that report. Following the riots that led to the closure of T.I. Ahmadiyya Secondary School at Salaga, the youth of the area resident in Accra have called for calm among the parties. The secretary to the group, Issa Mohammed Ikhlil, in an interview with Barbara Yakubu, said peace must prevail now for the school to reopen for academic exercise.
First of all, we need to restore calm so that our students will get the opportunity to go out to the schools to learn. They will not be left behind. That is our expectation.
And so you seem not to be happy with the way police, military intervention. Why?
It was a simple student demonstration, which has been quite peaceful, so to speak, because the students were in some of discussion with the DCE. So we thought it was very civil. It was very simple.
But we were not there.
We were not there, but we had the right information from the source. Honestly speaking, this police for us would have been enough to deal with the situation. But inviting the police, the military into the discussion or here into the for the intervention sort of gave a certain picture, the certain picture of absolute breakdown of law and order, which we disagree. And then when the military also came, there were certain acts which we were not very, very pleased with. And we think we should let the public be aware of it, in the sense that it's surprising when the military had to move into the mosque, the youth were demonstrating. Elderly, you know, people, the imams, the Muslim scholars who were offering prayers for the peace and development of the community.
But you're also calling for the immediate transfer of the headmaster of the school. Why? Because he's there to understand that people are not so comfortable with his style of instilling discipline. That's how come it degenerated.
We must say the headmaster has been a very useful one in the first place. He tries to put some sort of structures in the school which would ensure discipline, which would ensure the smooth running of all affairs.
Is that not what we want?
That is exactly what we want.
Secretary to Youth of Salaga Residence in Accra, Issa Mohammed Ikhlil, talking to Barbara Yakubu. Pakistan has executed Shafkat Hussain, convicted of killing a child in 2004, despite appeals from international human rights groups. His lawyers say he was 14 when found guilty and his confession was extracted by torture, but officials say there is no proof he was a minor when convicted. He was hanged shortly before dawn at a jail in Karachi and allowed to meet his family one last time before midnight. Legal challenges saw his execution postponed four times this year. Malaysia's anti-corruption agency says millions of dollars found in Prime Minister Najib Razak's personal accounts were donations, effectively clearing him of wrongdoing, but it did not disclose who the donors were or what they were for. It was investigating allegations that funds were transferred to Mr. Razak from the state investment fund he set up. Although Mr. Najib denied the allegations, the scandal triggered calls for his resignation. Last week, he replaced his deputy, Muhyiddin Yassin, who had criticized his handling of the allegations. Turn the news the main points again. The National Development Planning Commission, NDPC, will today launch the process to prepare a 40-year development plan at the Accra International Conference Center. The plan will bind governments to a vision lasting until the country attains 100 years as an independent nation. The move, described by the NDPC as ambitious, will see deep and broad consultations for at least a year. Government has described the strike by doctors as illegal and called on them to resume work immediately. A statement signed by the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, restated government's commitment to creating a conducive working environment for all public sector workers. Government Hospital and Pharmacists Association, GOSPA, has declared a nationwide strike. The decision follows the meeting with the General Council of GOSPA yesterday. Vice Chairman of GOSPA, Ajumai Bedu, said the decision to go on strike is due to delay in resolving their grievances for more than 4 years. And Pakistan has executed Shafqat Hussain, convicted of killing a child in 2004, despite appeals from international human rights groups. His lawyers say he was 14 when found guilty, and his confession was extracted by torture. But officials say there is no proof he was a minor when convicted. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.